The other week, I went up to a Christian healthcare center to visit one of Advent's members. And when I got there, she was in a group of about 20 other people, and they were all singing together. And this woman, like many people her age, has problems with memory loss. So remembering names and faces is difficult. But here she was, no hymnal in sight, ready to plow into verse 4 of How Great Thou Art. And eventually, I kind of held up the communion kit and gestured to an aide that I was here to see a resident. And so the aide went over and talked to her. And then the aide came back to me and said, she said she doesn't want to talk to you right now. She wants to keep singing. Tough, but fair. When you talk to people with memory loss, it's striking how music stays with them, because it plays such a large role in our lives. It's how we celebrate, it's how we mourn, it's how we learn. If you ever go to a new church and you want to know what they believe, don't ask for a statement of beliefs, just ask what they sang last week. And that'll tell you everything you need to know. So it makes sense that scripture includes songs. And every once in a while, besides the psalm, we'll get another piece of music. And today is one of those days. The middle chunk of today's reading from Philippians comes from a hymn. It's what biblical scholars call Philippians hymn. Very creative name. It's one of the oldest hymns in the New Testament. It was probably sung as a call and response when early believers would gather for baptism or the Eucharist. And it was so popular among those early believers that when St. Paul was trying to get his point across to the church in Philippi, he figured that they would all know this song. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, it begins, who though he was in the form of God, emptied himself. Now there's a reason why those early churches sang this hymn, not because it was catchy or it had a good hook, but because it captures the heart of why Jesus is so important for us. That Jesus, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, had all the powers of God, and yet chose to set those powers aside. Chose not to use those powers for his own benefit, but chose instead to empty himself, choosing humility. The big Greek word for this self-emptying is kenosis, and the idea basically is that in Jesus, God chooses to become like us. Chooses to become a real flesh and blood person, which isn't without risk. Jesus chooses to be open to relationship, which means he can be hurt. Chooses to be open to the future, which means he can be disappointed. And chooses to live like us, which means that eventually he has to face death. In Jesus, God becomes vulnerable, becomes capable of experiencing and suffering death, even, Paul adds, death on a cross. And not only that, not only does Jesus give up his power, he doesn't even try to get power. This isn't one of our many myths about the self-made man who comes from nothing and goes on to have everything. Jesus spends his time not by cozying up to people with influence, political leaders, generals, religious authorities, but by breaking bread with tax collectors and prostitutes, people who have nothing to offer him, people with no power at all. Instead of worrying about his own image or his own status or what other people think of him, Jesus is spending his time with people who have the greatest need. These stories in the gospel are stories of Jesus' selflessness, Jesus' humility. That's why Paul encourages the Philippians and all of us to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, that same attitude of humility, that same mindset of selflessness. Athanasius, who was a bishop in the 4th century, put it this way. That God became like us so that we might become like God. That God became vulnerable, capable of being wronged, being hurt, so that we could become like God. So that we'd be able to forgive, love, and be in relationship with others the way God intends. Jesus set aside his power so that we could have Jesus' humility. Now, humility often gets a bad rap. When we hear of humility, we think of people who can't take a compliment, or people with super low self-esteem. Humility often feels like something that people in power tell people without any power to practice. Like Paul is saying that you should expect less out of yourself and less out of life. That's not the humility that Paul is talking about. The humility Paul is talking about is about how we relate to other people, our ability to give ourselves to other people. That's a very different kind of giving than we normally talk about, right? We usually talk about giving money. Like there's a hurricane in Puerto Rico or an earthquake in Mexico, so we get out a checkbook or a credit card, or we talk about giving time. There are things that need to get done, so we spend our time organizing, planning, cleaning up. The kind of giving is important, but it's also the kind that comes easiest to us, because we can swing a few bucks or a few hours and get on with the rest of our day. But giving of ourselves is a little trickier. What does it mean to give of yourself exactly? It could mean a whole bunch of things. It could mean offering forgiveness to someone. It could mean grieving with people. It could mean celebrating with people. It could mean teaching people. But at its core, giving of ourselves means being open to having our understanding of ourselves changed by other people. That's what humility is all about. It means being open to saying that we were wrong, or that our minds changed, or that the world is different than we thought it was. That humility is sharing in Christ's vulnerability. Not just giving to other people or doing favors for other people, but living and growing with other people. It's very hard to be giving of yourself and just get on with the rest of your day. Giving of yourself changes everything. This emphasis on humility probably feels a little pedestrian to us, but for St. Paul, it was radically countercultural, because Paul was living and writing in a culture that was obsessed with status. Who is up, who is down, who's in, who's out, who you spent your time with mattered. To associate with people considered beneath you was to risk being ostracized, losing whatever status you had. For Paul, humility means giving of yourself across social boundaries without regard for what that means for your own status. Paying attention to someone else's need for dignity instead of your own desire for influence. In the first chapter of Philippians, St. Paul talks about the problem that's taken over the church in Philippi. And at the heart of the matter, as he put it, was that some people were, quote, proclaiming Christ out of selfish ambition. So instead of being united in mission, the church was being wrecked by envy and rivalry. Unchecked ambition was tearing the church apart, because some people were trying to get more status, more power in the church. And it's very hard to be a church that's in mission, that's forming disciples, that's reaching out to people in need, unless you can put aside your own desire for status. We normally think of humility as something you have if you have a poor sense of self. But here's the irony, is that you can't practice humility unless you have a good sense of self. Unless you know who you are, you really can't practice humility. You can't be truly giving of yourself to others because you don't have much of a self to give. Because unless your confidence in your own identity, unless your identity is formed by something other than status markers or your own desire for acceptance, you'll always be worrying about preserving your own ideas about yourself, your own self-image. Instead of being concerned with other people's needs, you'll always be worrying about your own status. So St. Paul invites us to share the mind of Christ, who doesn't see his status or power or influence as something to be exploited. The word exploited here can also be translated as grasped, which might be a little more helpful for us. Because none of us really exploit power, but we grasp it like crazy. We view life like an endless series of challenges to measure our worth by. We meet people at a party, and what's the first question we always ask? What do you do? And unless they come back with an answer that could be useful to us, say a manager at that firm we've been eyeing, or an admissions counselor at that school our kid wants to go to, our eyes are already wandering the room. Where people ask us how we're doing and we say, busy, so busy. And to be fair, we are busy, right? I've seen your schedules, I know what's up. But as tired and burned out as we are, a little part of us loves saying that we're busy. That we're the kind of people who are busy. We're in demand, we're getting ahead, we're hustling. Paul says that the life that Jesus gives us is something different. That Jesus doesn't regard life as something to be grasped, to be held onto with white knuckles. That Jesus was so sure of God's power in his life, he was able to let it go. That he was able to live open-handed, seeing life not as something to be hoarded or achieved or taken, but received. That's why it's so important that as Christians, our identity doesn't come from us. We don't construct our own identities. Our identity isn't something that we achieve, it's something we're given. We get the mind of Christ by participating in Christ. Last week in our Wednesday night study, we talked about the way Luther put this language of participation. He called it the exchange. That in baptism, everything that's Christ's becomes yours, and everything that's yours becomes Christ's. So in baptism, God gives you a new identity. Our liturgy says that you put on Christ in baptism. Because safe in Christ's identity, we can truly give of ourselves to others. Who you are isn't what people say. It isn't even what you say about yourself. It's what God says about you. That you are loved, forgiven, and valuable in God's sight. And there's nothing you can do to change that. Paul encourages the church in Philippi and all of us to have that same mindset as Christ, that same humility, to see life as a gift, something to be received, to live life open-handed the way we gather around this table every week, ready to receive the new life that God has given us. Thanks be to God that even when we can no longer take, we can still receive. Amen.